Father, we worship you with everything, spirit, soul, body, resources, because you are worthy. When you came, you didn't hold anything back. You gave us everything, even eternal life. And therefore now we hold nothing back and we give you everything. We worship you. Father, as we enter your word, we come to ask you to help us. Let this presence of the Holy Spirit that has been with us in the worship follow us into the word. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of those who are here physically, those who are at home, all over the world, that are connected to us electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God from your throne be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that indeed they will become doers of these things that they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed individually and said, amen. Amen. I have an important prophetic landmark message that I have been instructed by the Holy Spirit to deliver. This message is not only for the local church. It is for the universal body of Christ. The title of the message is The Vengeance and the Liberty of Purim and Passover. Many Christians do not understand the prophetic significance of the Old Testament feasts. Fewer still are familiar with the Feast of Purim. We need to understand that God's purposes and times and seasons are foreshadowed in these feasts. There are three major feasts: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. There is a fourth feast that was not instituted by Moses. These three were instituted by Moses and given in the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses, what we call the law. For our Jewish brethren, they are familiar with this. Jews all over the world and in Israel, they celebrate all these feasts. They celebrate Passover, they celebrate Pentecost, they celebrate Tabernacles, and they also celebrate Purim. Purim was celebrated just a few months, like 6 weeks ago, in the month of March. But the feasts are more than ceremonies. They are deep. They have deep prophetic spiritual significance for the church and even for natural Israel. Maybe before I go on, it's very important because I know we have a lot of wonderful brethren who are Jewish. We call them Messianic Jews. That is, Jews that believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. We salute them. We love them. We honor them. There are many of them. Their ministries are in the U.S. and in other places. And we appreciate them. Let me say this. Many of the prophetic scriptures in the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, and in what is called the prophets, which would be from Joshua stretching through to Malachi. And the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking, he also made a distinction of the Psalms. The Psalms are also very special because majority of them were written by David, and most of them have prophetic significance, both, and this is what I want to address to our Jewish brethren, they have multiple applications to natural Israel as well as to the church, which is spiritual Israel. I want to correct a misunderstanding that has arisen many over the years. Not only me bringing this correction, but I've learned this also from my fathers. Many, many Christians erroneously suppose that the church has replaced Israel. They call it replacement theology, that God has finished with Israel and God only deals now with the church. It is not true. The Apostle Paul himself tells us that he is an apostle to the Gentiles. He said, but don't be wise in your own conceits. He said, God has not done away with his people whom he foreknew. So God is still dealing with natural Israel. So many of the prophetic scriptures have a double application. They apply to natural Israel, and they also simultaneously apply to spiritual Israel. The church is called spiritual Israel because we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Natural Israel are the seed of Abraham through natural birth. Now, from both natural and spiritual Israel, God is drawing his people. And he's given us a heart for God so that the Bible says all Israel shall be saved. That is both natural Israel and spiritual Israel. And this is not in my notes, but it's important to give this clarification so the hearts of people can be open to the great prophetic significance of this message I am about to deliver. And it is this. We need to understand that as God was faithful to natural Israel, God is also being faithful to spiritual Israel. And then God, through the Apostle Paul, he goes further to define this. He said, not all Israel is Israel. But he says, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Then in Romans chapter 2, I believe it is, Paul says, who is a Jew? He said, he's not a Jew who is outwardly by circumcision. He said, a Jew is one who is a Jew in the heart. The one that obeys God inside the heart. It is that Paul refers to when he says all Israel. In other words, whether you are natural Israel, born naturally into the nation of Israel, you're a natural Jew or Israeli, or you are a spiritual Israel, into Israel by the new birth through Jesus Christ, God is looking at your heart. And your heart will ultimately qualify you for your destiny. You can be born again and lose it, like Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, where he said that every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, says he takes it away. He's born again. It's Israel. But he did not follow after. So he does not become, like the Bible says, you know, after Isaac. See, Israel had two sons. He had Isaac, then he had Abraham. So it's possible to become a Christian and then live after the flesh. And then you don't qualify for the destiny that you were actually born into. And it's possible to be natural Israel, and then in your heart, you do not serve God as you should. Not the circumcision which is without, but circumcision which is of the heart. And then also you lose your destiny. So just being born, watch this, of Abraham. Whether you're born of Abraham naturally or whether you're born of Abraham spiritually is not an automatic qualifier of the inheritance and the destiny that the seed of Abraham have. It is walking like Abraham, having the same heart that Abraham had, that qualifies you. So the Lord Jesus, speaking to the natural Jews, let me talk about them first, and then I'm going to talk about the spiritual Jews, us. You know what he said? He said, don't begin to say to yourself that we have Abraham as our father. He said, for God from these stones, he can raise up children to Abraham. He said, but bring forth, everybody shouted, fruit worthy of repentance. Then to spiritual Israel, which is us, the church, he said, every branch in me that bears fruit, he said, he purges that, he brings more. He said, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he said, he takes it away. And men gather into the fire and they are burned. So whether you are natural Israel or whether you are spiritual Israel, what is most important is your heart. And continue to follow God. Have a circumcision of the heart. Make sure you're not just the seed of Abraham by mouth, but you're the seed of Abraham by deed. You're the seed of Abraham by heart. You have the same heart as your father Abraham, who believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And whether you're spiritual Israel or natural Israel, you will get the blessing and the inheritance. Now, the feasts of Purim and Passover follow one another. Purim, like we said, was instituted many years later through Mordecai and Esther in the nation of Persia. You know, most of us, I'm sure any Messianic Jew who's listening to me is very, very familiar with Esther. And those of us who are Christians, we should be if you're not. Most Christians who don't read the Old Testament, they're doing themselves a great disfavor. You need to understand your Old Testament. There was a man in the kingdom called Haman who wanted to kill all the Jews, and God turned the whole thing around. And Haman was hanged on his own gallows, and God delivered the Jews. That is why this message is entitled "The Vengeance and the Liberty." Everybody say vengeance and liberty. Turn to your neighbor and say the liberty comes after God has executed vengeance. So what God did was that God executed vengeance on Haman, and then he gave liberty to the Jews. And then they instituted what is known as the Feast of Purim. It just means lots. Because Haman was a demonically influenced person who went to get information from Satan, and he cast lots, you know, as to the day he should kill the Jews. In our own Yoruba culture here in Africa, you know, amongst the Yorubas, I don't know among other tribes, but you know, we have different gods and deities, and we have the Ifa oracle. When you don't know what's going to happen in the future, in the olden days, and some people still erroneously practice that today, you go to the Ifa as a priest, and they will cast incantations. They will cast lots. And, you know, they will send some beads and things, you know. And when it comes out, they can tell many times what's going to happen in the future. And it's accurate. Because Satan does have some power. He's not all powerful, but he does have some power. So it's the same type of thing that Haman did. That's why he cast lots. That's why it's called Purim. You know, and Satan gave him a date that he would be a successful date for him to kill all the Jews. And that's why he chose the date by casting lots. But God turned the thing around through the fasting and the prayer of Mordecai and Esther. God turned it around and gave favor with the emperor, Ahasuerus, who had Haman hanged, and then gave liberty to the Jews. It is very significant that the Feast of Purim is in the 12th month of the Jewish year, and it falls on the 13th, the 14th, and the 15 days of that month. The month immediately following Purim is the Passover month. Because the Purim is the last month of the year. The next month is the first month of the new year, which is the month of Passover, which feast falls on the 14th. So there is exactly 1 month between Purim and Passover. It is not an accident. Satan, also having some knowledge of God's word and God's purposes, wanted to cut off the Jewish race 1 month before the new Passover, so there will never be a Passover celebrated again. But God turned it around. Give the Lord a clap offering. It was not an accident. And so, 1 month later, the Passover was, of course, celebrated again, and it's been celebrated, and it's still being celebrated. We still celebrate. In fact, this Passover of 2020 was a special Passover because we were really in Passover. Because in the original Passover, everybody was in their home because of the plague of death. In this Passover 2020, everybody was at home because of the plague of coronavirus. It has never happened for 3,000 years. In Israel, everybody was at home during this Passover. It is not an accident. God is doing something. Let me go on. The feasts of Passover and Purim are very similar in purpose. In Purim, God delivered his people by bringing vengeance on Haman and setting them at liberty in the Persian Empire, so that they could fulfill his purpose. Watch this. It has just come to me, you know, as a tweet. It was from Persia Cyrus arose and gave commandment for the rebuilding of the temple. Had the Jews been killed and Esther been killed, there would have been no Cyrus. And there would have been no restoration of the second temple. The Holy Spirit, seeing far ahead of the devil, knew what Satan was trying to abort, and therefore he worked around the situation. The Bible is true, folks. When we pray, God causes all things to work together for good. And I want to encourage you, Christian and Messianic Jew at home, and our Jewish brethren, when you are in trouble, pray. The Bible says, is any afflicted, let him pray. Now, when you pray, you give God an avenue to move. And when he moves, you know what he's going to do? He is going to cause all things to work together for your good. And in particular, he is going to take what Satan meant for evil and he's going to turn it around for your good. Like this coronavirus, which was meant for our destruction, is actually going to be for elevation. Hallelujah. God has always been doing that. And so, in the Feast of Purim, what Haman meant for evil, God turned it around. So God brought, watch this. He brought vengeance on Haman and liberty for Mordecai, Esther, and the Jews. What happened at Passover? He brought vengeance on Pharaoh and brought liberty to Moses and the children of Israel. They followed the same pattern. That is why this prophetic message is called the vengeance and the liberty of Purim and Passover. Now, how does this apply to us today? You know, Jeroboam was one of the most wicked kings in Israel. And it was God who made him king. And he turned his back on God, but I don't want to get into that, so I don't get off my message. When his child was sick, the prophet who told him he would become king, is an old prophet now. His eye had become dim. I think his name was Ahijah, if I'm not wrong. So he told his wife, that's a real prophet. He will tell us, you know, about this child, whether he can heal him. So disguise yourself. Don't let him know that it's you, that you're the wife of Jeroboam, you know, and take the child to Ahijah and he will. He's a real prophet because he was one who told me that, you know, I'll become king and I became king. So the wife disguises herself, you know, and goes to the prophet. Her feet doesn't enter the prophet's house. She's just outside. The Holy Spirit speaks to the prophet and says, Jeroboam's wife has come, disguising herself to be another person. This and this and this and this and this is what you're going to tell her. I'm bringing a heavy message, brethren, especially for our leaders in the church. Hear me. He that hath an ear, let him hear. This is a very, very heavy message. You know what Ahijah told her? He said, O wife of Jeroboam, why have you disguised yourself? For I have heavy tidings for you. I speak to our leaders today. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me list them. I speak to spiritual and Pentecostal pharaohs. I speak to political pharaohs. I speak to economic pharaohs. Observe, I'm using the word pharaoh. Pharaoh was the one that kept the children of Israel in bondage. He kept them under. He made them make bricks without straw. He kept them. But God sent Moses. God sent Esther and Mordecai to deliver the Jews from Haman, to deliver the children of Israel from Moses' Pharaoh. And today, God is going to deliver his people from all the economic, the political, the spiritual, the Pentecost. We even have Pentecostal pharaohs. And by the time I finish, you will know yourself. I'm not going to mention anybody's name. Let me tell you something about God. You see, God never, you know, predestines individuals. He predestines purposes and conditions. The individuals that fulfill the conditions, positive or negative, become predestined to those events. God is not a respecter of persons. And this, one of the reasons why this message is going forth now is that even if you are a Pentecostal pharaoh or you are a spiritual pharaoh and you quickly repent, God will have mercy on you. So I speak to you as Ahijah spoke to Jeroboam and to the wife of Jeroboam. He said, come, I have heavy tidings. Strong judgment was pronounced upon Jeroboam because of all of his sins. God said he is going to cut his line off completely.
He said that there will not remain one that pisseth against the wall. That means there will be no male child left in the house of Jeroboam because of Jeroboam's sin. He said, but as for this little boy, say he's a good boy, he's going to go to heaven. This will be, paraphrase, but that's what he meant. He said, because only in him was some good thing found in the house of Jeroboam. So the minute you enter the city, you will die. God said, let his my son, he will come to me. Let me tell you something. When little children die, they go to heaven. Are you listening to me? God is a good God. Because the children, they don't know. You know, so God doesn't deal with them because they haven't reached the age of accountability and the age of, responsibility. So God just, but the older ones, that's one of the reasons it's just free of charge by the side, that God spared all the children 20 years old and under. They don't know their life. You know what the Bible says? It said they didn't know their left from their right. But the older ones he held responsible. So God delivered the people by bringing vengeance on Haman and vengeance on Pharaoh. In our day now, the church is suffering under religious, probably is even better than the word spiritual, religious and Pentecostal pharaohs that are deliberately keeping God's people in bondage so that they can make money out of them. They are keeping them in bondage to spiritual immaturity so they do not grow, because if they don't grow, they can continue to exploit them. Your day is over. God, like he said to Jeroboam, he said, only, there will be none that pisseth against the wall. He is going to totally cut off the lines of religious and Pentecostal pharaohs, political pharaohs who are keeping, this is not spiritual now, these are bad leaders that are keeping the people that are put under them in bondage, exploiting them economically, exploiting them in every other way, causing groanings to be in the earth. The Bible tells us, about wicked leaders that, they cause the pain and the suffering of people to rise up before God. God has not forgotten his people, and he's going to deliver them. The same way he did in the past, he's going to do it with vengeance. And then he's going to give liberty to God's people. Now, Isaiah chapter 61. Verses 1 and 2. I'm going to stop there. I could go on, but because of time. Say, the Spirit of the Lord, I didn't hear you, is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. I will say, liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted this scripture when he went to Nazareth. And he did it under instruction. Like I said during the Bible study, Jesus was a teaching prophet. He wasn't declaring. This was what God told him to say. So he took it straight from scripture. He didn't have to come and say, thus saith the Lord. He just taught it. But it's very interesting. When Jesus quoted this scripture, he stopped in the middle of the verse 2. He made reference to the proclamation of the acceptable year, which is same as the year of Jubilee. But he did not go to the day of vengeance. You know why? It was not the time. You will observe that in Jesus' ministry, while he was here on earth, and even shortly afterward, in the first 30, 40 years, there was no vengeance against the governments. Individual leaders that were bad, like Herod, were cut off. But generally speaking, God didn't do anything about, you know, change the government. The Roman Empire was there for 200-300 years. You know, he did not remove the empire. You know, one bad emperor will come, another bad one will come. Remember, there was Nero. You know, after Nero, there were all kinds of bad, so many bad emperors, until finally we got Constantinople. The point is this: it was not the day of God's vengeance. But now, this is the day of God's vengeance. And the same Spirit, by the grace and the mercy of God that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ, was upon me, and he has instructed me to come and deliver this. The day of vengeance has come. The day of reckoning has come. God is going to set his people free. And in setting his people free, the church is going to come into the fullness of her destiny. The church that has been kept down. There's a prayer my wife and the intercessors pray. You know, whenever I hear it, I feel so good. You know, that beggars will stop riding and princes walking. Princes should be the one riding and beggars should be the one walking. But there has been a change because of satanic oppression. But that day is over. That day is over. So we are in the day of the vengeance of God. God's vengeance is coming on the religious and Pentecostal pharaohs, or Hamans, if you like, the political pharaohs, the economic pharaohs. In order to appreciate what I'm saying, you have to appreciate what is happening now. This coronavirus, this pandemic that has been unleashed upon the world. Now, you need to understand that it's not God who did it, it's Satan who did it. But God allowed it. Just like God allowed the messenger of Satan to attack, to buffet Paul. God has allowed this messenger of Satan to come and buffet, to shake the world. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai. Haggai is one of the minor prophets. I want to again encourage all of our brethren and Christians, read the Old Testament. You do yourself a great disfavor. We have a lovely Bible reading guide on our website. It gives you portions of scripture to read every day. You read from the Old Testament. You read from the Psalms. You read from the Proverbs. You read from the New Testament. All the epistles. You read from the Gospels. If you read from all those five sections of the Bible on a daily basis, it will keep you balanced. And you will be properly fed spiritually and you will grow up balanced. If you only read from one portion, you will grow up spiritually unbalanced. And that's why all these minor prophets, most of them, most Christians are not familiar with them. Obadiah, Haggai, you know, Habakkuk, Nahum, you know, and Zechariah, Micah, you know, Zephaniah. But you know, some of the greatest prophetic truths, they are hidden there. There's so many things you cannot understand about the end time if you don't go into those minor prophets. And that's what Jesus was telling his people. He said, you need to go and read those prophets. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the first place he preached from was Joel. Minor prophet. Who told him? Jesus. When did he tell him? During the 40 days. When he was teaching them things concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus, Peter only just repeated a message he heard that Jesus taught. Glory to God. Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 7, 8, and 9. And I will shake all nations. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is shaking all nations now. Allowing Satan to buffet us with coronavirus pandemic. And it's not over yet. Now, let me qualify that. The pandemic is going to go over. But other things are still coming. And I'll tell you the reason why. They are coming because they are the effect of the collective and cumulative sins of this generation. The wages of sin is death. When you sin, it triggers a sequence of events. You need to understand this. You know, many people don't understand this. When you sin, it doesn't just happen like that, you know. For example, Saul sinned and killed the priests of Nob. It resulted in a famine 20, 25 years down the road. Hello? You know, and there's so many examples of that in the Bible. You know, in the book of, I believe it's in Leviticus. Leviticus, I think it's chapter 18. You know, don't go there. It's just, you know, it talks about the consequences of sexual sin. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bestiality. He puts all of them. And he says that because of these sins, I drove out the former people. And the earth, the ground vomited them out. There is something. Don't think that when you sin and you commit adultery or you go and sleep with somebody else, oh, she's not married, so I have not done anything, I've not hurt anybody. You have hurt yourself, you have hurt your body, and you have hurt the earth. And there is a consequence. So many of the things we are seeing, like this coronavirus, are a consequence of these sins. You know, not only the sexual ones, but also all other sins. And they have an effect on the geography. They have an effect on the climate. They have an effect on viruses. They have an effect on sicknesses. It's not just, you know, so it's a consequence of our own world. But the good news is that God has a plan to deliver us from it. If, and it is conditional, if we will hearken unto the voice of the Lord and repent of our sins, receive mercy and grace, through which mercy will now triumph over the judgment of the sins and reduce, ameliorate their effect. And in some cases, if God has enough of his people who are praying and working with God, completely eliminate it. Oh, yes. It's available. Now, Haggai, I will shake all nations. Turn to your neighbor. This is not going to happen. It's already happening. Turn to your neighbor. This is an example of present truth. This prophetic truth is presently being fulfilled as you and I are speaking. That's why there is no people, everybody is at home. It's prophetic truth. Empty chairs. It's full of the spirits of people. Their spirits are at home. Praise the Lord. The desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, which place? This latter house, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I want us to understand that what is happening right now, this pandemic, is a shaking that God has allowed. Observe. It has not only shaken us in terms of health, it has also shaken, and it is shaking us in terms of economy. There is the economies of the world have taken a great bashing, if I can use that expression. And they've taken a great impact. America's economy has been affected. You know, the economy in England, the economy in China, the economy here in Nigeria, and all over the world. There is no economy that has not been affected by this shaking. You now see the terrible consequences of sin. It's not just, I met a girl and I like her and I slept with her and I didn't hurt anybody, or homosexuals, you know, I'm free to love anybody I like, you know. All those things are having an effect. They are having a terrible effect. Climate, geography, viruses. They say this coronavirus is a very funny virus. It's a strange virus. It's mutating. You know, it behaves in such a way that it can enter our bodies. It has its own error correcting codes, so that causes it to multiply itself much more than the ordinary virus that gives cold. Who do you think did that? The devil. Satan. Because we opened the door and allowed him through sin. Now, the current shaking of the economy of the world, of the economies of the world, can only, please underline my words, be overcome through the intervention, the divine intervention of God's mercy and grace, giving wisdom and power to the sons of God. Spiritual Christians that have spiritually matured and have inherited the power of the Spirit without measure. The problems are too steep. Listen to the news. You will understand. People are saying, oh, it will take 1 year to recover. It will take 2 years to recover. You know, and they're basing it on statistical projections that are based on the facts that they have. Don't blame them. They're only talking from the facts that they have. But because of the power of the Spirit of God, when a supernatural dimension is added, what they say will take 1 year can be finished in 3 months. Hello, somebody. But that supernatural dimension must be allowed to come in. Hence, the need for vengeance. If God does not bring vengeance on the religious and Pentecostal pharaohs, on the political pharaohs, on the economic pharaohs, they will not be removed and give the sons of God the opportunity and the privilege of bringing the solution that will solve the shaking problem. So the vengeance, that's why the prophetic message is entitled The Vengeance and the Liberty. The liberty cannot come before the vengeance. The vengeance must come first. If God did not first of all destroy Haman, Mordecai and Esther would not have been able to write the decrees that of what they want. And look, like it says in Esther chapter 10, that Mordecai sought for the wealth of his people. There was liberty in the land because of the vengeance of Haman. So now, God is going to bring vengeance upon all these different groups of leaders in different categories with the coming of the glory of God. The glory of God is a two-edged sword. One edge cuts into blessing. The second edge cuts in vengeance. And we ought to know this so that we can behave ourselves and make sure we position ourselves in the place where we will be getting the blessing and not the vengeance. Now, let me expatiate a little bit more. Let me deal with them one by one. Let's first of all talk about the religious and Pentecostal pharaohs. There is a very telling scripture. When I say telling, that's a scripture that actually explains. In the book of Ephesians, my wife quoted from it earlier this morning when she was introducing the church. It says, that we be no more children. But that's not all it said. Give me Ephesians chapter 4. And when you understand it, you now understand why God will bring vengeance. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 14. I'm dealing now with religious and Pentecostal first. I've separated the Pentecostal. I'm part of the Pentecostal movement. Don't misunderstand me. And we have a lot of good Pentecostal Christian pastors. But on the other hand, we also have a lot of Pentecostal pastors that are charlatans.
All they are interested in is in money. They make merchandise of God's people. All they are interested in is how they can merchandise the anointing. Have you noticed that every message comes back to the offering? Even to get healing, you have to bring an offering. You want a breakthrough, you have to bring an offering. Isn't it interesting that the woman of the issue of blood did not give Jesus any special offering before she could get her healing? If it was today, for her to get that kind of something, she would have to go and look for offering. And then when she gets the offering, then they will now put anointing oil upon her head before she gets her deliverance. Stop it! Vengeance is about to fall on you. Quickly repent! Religious pharaohs. Religious pharaohs are people, some of them are born again, some of them are not really born again. You know, but these are the people in religious institutions. The different religious institutions I'm not going to, you know, mention, because you don't think I'm attacking any particular denomination or sect. You know, notice I've spoken about the Pentecostals, of which I am a part. This thing goes throughout the church, Christendom. You have a lot of people, they don't want to go into the deeper things of God. And the people that want to go, they hinder them. They don't want their people to be exposed to anything that will enlighten them. Ephesians 4:14. Look at what it says. That we henceforth be no more children. Turn to your neighbor and say, God does not want you to remain a spiritual child. To remain a spiritual child is a sin. It's against the will of God. It's against the purpose of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have children? You know, on the day of naming ceremony, everybody rejoices. You know, name the child. Everybody's happy. You know, and then, you know, the child begins to grow. Time begins to pass. Then the child is 3 years old, 4 years old, begins to walk, begins to talk. You take him to school. He's okay a little bit initially. Then he gets to 10 years old, but he's not developing mentally. He's not developing physically like his mates. You start getting concerned. 15, 20. He's still talking like when he was 5. That's what is, you know, known as an idiot. An idiot is not an abuse. He's describing a condition of a lack of development. Mental and emotional development. So you say, okay, guy's an idiot. He doesn't understand. You know, we use it abusively, which we shouldn't. You know, but that's what happens to God. When he sees a person born again, 15 years, born again, 20 years, he's still talking like he was talking when he was 3 years old as a Christian. He's still believing God for the same things. He's still acting in the same way. He's still trying to pray the same kind of prayers. What a disaster. In our language, in Yoruba, omo banuje, that is a child that causes grief to the hearts of the parents. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But that's what God is describing here. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of who? Men. Who is causing this condition? Men. These are the religious and Pentecostal pharaohs. The sleight of men. It doesn't say devils. Men. 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 And what? Cunning craftiness. You know what? They know what they are doing. I've noticed something. You know, I've been in the ministry. We started in 1984. 37 years now to the glory of God. You know, I've been a Christian for 41 years. And, you know, as God began to give me all this prophetic anointing, and I became a prophetic teacher in 1988 and 89, I just noticed the anointing on me changed. I used to teach only before healing, prosperity, deliverance, which was fine. You know, and then God began to give me revelation, man-child company, times and seasons, Joshua generation, you know, all kinds of great prophetic messages. Then Papa Ralph Martin came from America and confirmed everything I was teaching and then amplified it. But the point is this. I noticed that when I started teaching the deeper things, the churches started shutting their doors to me. Even some of my friends. I am told, I didn't hear, you know, that they went behind my back and told people, don't let Olubi come to your church. Don't let him. Those things he's teaching, you know, once your people hear it, they're going to be confused. No, they were not going to go because they're going to grow. But they don't want them to do that so that they can exploit them. Somebody actually told me this. You know, I met a minister of God this many years ago, you know, and the person said to me, he said, Pastor Olubi, I've not seen you in years. I still remember you when we were in university, how you used to come and teach and preach to us, and how all of us would be so excited. We loved your teaching and everything. He said, but I've been hearing all kinds of bad things. So, you know, I heard this, I heard that, I heard this, I heard that. So I had to sit the person down and explain everything to them. So religious and Pentecostal fellows. The religious ones are the ones in the denominations. They don't want anybody. They don't want things like baptism, Holy Spirit, anything that's going to make the people grow. You find that they will block it and keep the people in bondage so that they can continue to exploit them. The cunning craftiness whereby they what? Lie in wait to what? I didn't hear you. Deceive. It's a deliberate thing. They want to keep the people in bondage. Your day is over. Vengeance is coming. See, after I proclaim, God told me today to proclaim this message. Today is Ascension Sunday. There's a reason. I'm understanding more things now. There's not everything I know I can say out. But all I use, you see, after this message, things are going to start happening. Amen. And you will remember this message. Are you listening to me? God is going to bring vengeance on the religious and political affairs, and they are number one because judgment must begin at the house of God. Number two, he's going to bring judgment on the political pharaohs. Turn with me in your Bible to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. And look at verse 20. You know what God says? This scripture, God gave it to me some years ago. And it described, it's like a hand that fits a glove. It described so perfectly what happened to Abacha when Abacha died in 1998. Now, I didn't plan that. It just happened like that. Did Sunday, Abacha died on June 8th, 1998. The Sunday before we were here in church, we held the Nigerian flag. I still remember my wife and told the children to come out and, you know, the brethren, and we all prayed and we said, grace, grace, grace. This is not, we have the tapes. We can play it back. So this is not something that, you know, I'm just saying. The very next day, that night, overnight, a healthy Abacha, because God moved. That evening, when we came back for 3 hours after prayer, I was in that corner and I was praying. And the Lord spoke to my heart from Daniel and Belteshazzar. He said, tonight. And it happened exactly. Look at the scripture. In a moment shall they die. Now, I want to say this from a heart of love, because God is love. See, it's not that we want people to die. We don't want leaders to die. We don't want the head of state to die. We don't want the president to die. We don't want the prime minister to die. No. God has no pleasure in the death of any man. When Daniel saw what God said about Nebuchadnezzar, he was sad. Then he told Nebuchadnezzar, Oga, this is Nigerian language, my boss, please, you know, change. You know, show mercy to the poor. Cut off your sins and there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. I say this scripture with the same heart. I'm not saying it because I want our leaders to die. But if you don't repent like Nebuchadnezzar and you don't repent like Belteshazzar, this was going to happen to you. So you can repent. You can be you don't have to be a wicked leader like Nebuchadnezzar or Belteshazzar. You can be a benevolent leader like Cyrus. You can be a benevolent leader like Darius or Artaxerxes and some of these other or Joseph Pharaoh. They were not Christians, but they decided, they said, don't disturb the people of God. Let them build, let them do the work of God, so that they will pray for the life of the king and his sons. You can decide to be like that. Or you can decide to be stubborn and rebellious like Moses Pharaoh. And what happened to Moses Pharaoh is what's going to happen to you. The choice is yours. I do not speak from condemnation point of view. I speak as a prophet of God. I'm bringing you the word of God so that it can be well with you. In a moment shall they die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away. And the mighty shall be taken away without hand. That's what the King James says. In the Amplified Bible, the New International Version, it says without human hand. No human hand touched Abacha. For, listen to the reason. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces. Mighty men, watch out, politicians. Watch out, senators. Watch out, hands of rep. All of you, watch out. You better change. If you keep stealing money, diverting money here and there, not doing what is going to be helpful for the people, for the poor, for the needy, healthcare, education, agriculture, and you keep doing the wrong thing, your day has come. God's vengeance. He break in pieces mighty men without number and set others in their seat. God will remove you and put somebody better. Like he removed Saul and put a better than he, David, there. May that not be your portion. May you change. For therefore, he knoweth their works. And so he overturned them in the night so that they are destroyed. Notice God who is doing this. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others. God is going to do this vengeance openly. So everybody will say, this is the finger of God. He therefore, verse 27, excuse me, because this is the reason why it happened. They turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. Verse 28, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the what? Afflicted. That's the reason. You know God cares for the poor. He cares for the widow. He cares for the fatherless. And I want to say this, even if you're not a Christian yet, or you're not born again, that's not what we're talking about. You have a conscience. The Bible says that the Gentiles which have not the law, have the law of God written in their hearts. Their conscience, the meanwhile, either excusing or else accusing. Obey your conscience! Stop stealing that money. Stop diverting it. Stop oppressing the poor. The money that should have been used for hospitals is in your bank account somewhere. And people are dying on the expressway. They rush them to hospital. There's no oxygen and they die. Because of you. You are worse than an armed robber. The armed robber has a gun and he comes to kill somebody. You have a pen and you kill millions. The day of vengeance is here. Economic pharaohs. These ones are people who want to keep the money only to themselves. This happens not only in Nigeria, it's all over the world. There are people who they try and corner the market so that only they and a few of their friends, only they and a few of their friends can make money above a particular level.
Yes, you can be rich, but you can't make more than 100 million, 200 million. If you really want to come into the big time, you have to come and see us. Not only bow, join our cult. That is why there's certain levels of economic success you cannot get to. This is not only true of Nigeria, it's true in England, it's true in America. If you do not get into the boys club, if you don't go and see some people, if some people don't introduce you to some other people, and you are not ready to compromise on some of your so-called Christian value, they will shut the door to you. Your day is over. Vengeance is coming. God's people are going to become the richest people on the earth. And they will do it in righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says, the Lord, they will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. You will lend to nations you will not borrow. He will make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. So God, to fulfill this, He's going to give supernatural wisdom to the church by the glory of God that comes through the inheriting of the Spirit without measure. I spoke about this last week when I was talking about the promise and the oath of the glory. So I'm not going to go into the detail. All you need to know is that this transformation of our physical bodies will not only bring physical miracles like healing the sick, cleansing the leper, and raising the dead. Thank God we're going to do a lot of that. But there are going to be intellectual miracles like what God gave Daniel, Joseph, and Solomon. They're going to be political miracles. They're going to be economic miracles like with Joseph. They're going to be environmental miracles like the ones that Moses performed. And all of this taken together is going to be the avenue through which God will solve the shaking problem. You see, the nations are shaking now because of this pandemic and other perils of the end time that are still, they are already in the works because the sins have already been committed. So the judgments are already in the works. However, the good news is that once the sons of God have brought vengeance upon these bad leaders and are in a position like Esther and Mordecai to influence nations for good, they will provide the solution and the shakings will stop. Fulfilling Isaiah 33 verse 6, where he says, Isaiah chapter 33, and in verse 6, the Bible says here, there's so many scriptures, he said, and wisdom and knowledge shall be what? The stability of thy times. They're shaking now in these times, but the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God will bring stability. In closing, how is this thing going to come? Well, I've already told us, I spent a lot of time on that last week. Through the fulfillment of the promise and the oath, as God's children and people press in, that's why we're in this upper room now of prayer, in this season of first fruits. We're actually in season of first fruits. All the things of God, they're in times and seasons. You got Passover, that's gone. You got first fruits. First fruits is the Sabbath immediately after Passover. So we're in first fruits now. First fruits is going to end on the day of Pentecost. Then when Pentecost comes, then we're going to be in the season of Pentecost. That's going to last another 3 or 4 months. Before we now get into the season of tabernacles, which is going to be in the fall, you know, or what we call the autumn in England, you know, which is going to be September, October, you know, that kind of a time. Each one has its season. In this season of first fruits, we are to press in through prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord like the early church did in the upper room. Praying what for? Not just praying for every other thing. Pray for your personal needs. There's nothing wrong with that. But focus your prayer on the manifestation of the glory. What do I want? I want a transformation of my physical body. So, like God transformed the physical body of Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac, God is going to transform our physical bodies by pumping through prayer, travail, and groanings and intercession. Pumping the life and the power of God from our spirit through our soul
into our body so that it can manifest the fullness of the Son of God. And when that comes, with that will now come the blessing that is going to stabilize the nations from this shaking. So this is the hour of our deliverance. This is the hour of the vengeance and the liberty of Purim and Passover. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. We're going to close. I know I brought heavy tidings, but I was instructed to do so. Like Ahijah brought heavy tidings to Jeroboam, who was a bad king. If you're a bad king, it's heavy tidings. If you're a good king and a good leader, religious or Pentecostal or economic or something, you can quickly change. That's the purpose. If you know any pastor, send this message to them. Let them change. Let them change. God wants us to change. And we are now a people prepared. May holy,
made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Watching and waiting.
Watching and praying for Jesus' return.
Preparing our hearts.
From the water of life
in the city,
where the Lord is the
life. We hear you say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bright Savior.
Redemption. Glory to God.
The very time of His appearing.
Raise your voice. That's what I just did.
Sound the alarm.
That's what I just did in this message.
Let
Him. Glory to God.
And we are now a people prepared,
made holy
and clean
by the blood of the Lamb,
watching and praying for Jesus' return.
You
are coming soon,
and the Spirit and the bright say, the second stanza.
Redemption's plan is now fulfilled.
Angels and men. Honor, glory to God.
Jesus is reigning over all.
Building His church. Glory.
glory to God.
His church in love and praise.
With hearts ablaze.
With hearts
glory to God.
Ablaze. With hearts ablaze.
We now arise. The whole earth knows Jesus is coming soon. All the signs are here. And even those who used to be aloof before are no longer aloof. Because the shaking of his coming has touched everybody. And he's touching everybody. And we've just started. We want to pray now. If you are home, stretch forth your hands towards your device. The important thing now is two things. One, repentance. If you're a religious or Pentecostal Pharaoh, if you're a political Pharaoh, if you're an economic Pharaoh, just go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. God is merciful. He helped you. God helped Jeroboam. Sorry, he helped, what's his name? The bad king. Ahab, he helped the other boy. Nebuchadnezzar, he helped Manasseh. He will help you. God is kind. Okay? And if you're a Christian, your job is very simple. Prepare. How do you prepare? Watch and pray. There's no other job. Watch and pray and make white your garment. Let's pray. Stretch forth your hands. Say, Father, I confess my sins and I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Receive your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even when you bring a hard word, you bring a way out. Because you love men. You are not interested in the death of any sinner. What you want them is to repent. We come to pray for all of our leaders, religious and Pentecostal leaders and political leaders, economic. Have mercy on them.
Mercy.
Let them change. So it can be well for the people. So they will hear the cause of the poor. And they will use their position not for oppression, but they will use it for blessing and for deliverance in the name of Jesus. Father, we also pray for all of our brethren, Christians all over the world. Help us to prepare. Let us prepare. Let us make white our garments. Let us watch and pray using the blood, the word and the spirit to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that in this day, as your glory comes, Lord God, your glory will elevate us. It will not destroy us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stretch forth your hands and pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Peradventure, if you're watching at home, you're not born again, you don't have Jesus yet. You know, it's not a sin to be a sinner. What I mean by that is that all of us were sinners. God just wants to change you, that's all. God doesn't want to condemn you. So just pray this prayer quietly after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I realize
I have the nature of sin inside me. And that's what makes me do a lot of things I don't even like to do and things that displease you. But I know you sent Jesus to die for my sins, shed his blood for the forgiveness and the cleansing away of all my sins, raised him from the dead for my justification. Therefore, as an act of my free will, right now, I accept him as my Savior and I confess him as my Lord. I also pray that, Lord, you come and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and with the initial evidence of speaking in a supernatural prayer language so I can start praying to you directly from my spirit and I can grow spiritually. Father, I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We've now come to the close of our service. All our services have been announced earlier on. Everything is online and on the Zoom meeting. And after the service, we're going to leave some of the notices on the screen so you can get all the information concerning all the services. Join us this week. Join us in the cyber upper room. There's a time of preparation, watching and praying. The glory will fall any minute now. And it's going to come with vengeance on one hand. It's going to come with blessing on the other hand. Stay in the place of blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace. God will make you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You be at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. We love you. And we're looking forward to seeing you very soon.
God bless you. God protect your bones and no broken bones in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.